This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is one of those nights when sports radio is not complicated. To try to do anything other than what's right in front of you to start the show or to drive these next 4 hours would be to overcomplicate what is pretty simple on this Monday night. The playoffs, they are the star of the show. Three games. Three crazy comebacks, three very different tones to those comebacks, three different teams that offer stunners and moments that we aren't likely to forget. And maybe, just maybe, if the NBA and the NHL playoffs had their own version of one shining moment, we would get these moments that delivered some pretty delicious video and audio, and mostly just the type of moment and the type of experience that we dig as sports fans. So no need to overcomplicate, no need to dress it up, no need to put lipstick on a pig, if you will, although I have no idea why anyone would do that, but it's one of those old cliches. Nah, the sports speak for themselves on this Monday night. And that's one of the reasons why I dig this job. Sometimes it is just as simple as it sounds. You talk about what just happened and you revel in it the way that a lot of sports fans are around the country. And there's a little something for everyone. We had a 20-point comeback by the defending champions against one of the greatest players of all time and his team. And the stunning visual as well as the shocking audio of hearing a buzzer sound and then the ball going through the hoop, which is incredible, while the fans go wild in Denver. Man, I was listening to it on the radio as well as watching it, and it I think I actually prefer the radio just because of the sequence of the sound, the sequence of the events as they play out there in the Mile High City. You also had a team in its own arena, similar to the Denver Nuggets, but a team in its own arena who had lost a lead. So not like the Nuggets against the Lakers, because the last time Denver led, it was 5-3. It was the earliest minutes of game two in Denver. The Knicks had given up their lead. The Philadelphia 76ers, while they'd kind of been flirting with it, right? They'd had a good lead. They'd had a lead that they were trying to pad, but every time they tried to pad that lead, the Knicks would reel them back in. So this one didn't have a ton of separation, but the visiting team, in this case the Sixers, with what felt like a superhuman effort from one Joel Embiid, who is the reigning NBA MVP, they are able to post just this slight 5-point lead. Nothing crazy, nothing out of hand, but the way that the Knicks came back, the way that the Knicks were able to get a Brunson bouncer, we'll call it, one of those shots that causes your mouth to drop open. Did that really just happen? How did that ball go in? And then a sequence of events that you kind of watch with your mouth agape. I can't believe what I just saw type of thing, where it's a turnover by the Philadelphia 76ers trying to advance the ball. So the Knicks are able to grab a turnover. Then it's And I thought there was going to be a foul called and a whistle. I kind of wondered if it was a little bewildering, kind of wondered if they were playing on and I just didn't hear a whistle. But then you get a shot that doesn't go in, another offensive rebound, which you know what I think about offensive rebounds, and then a second chance for the same guy who nails a three. Another crowd goes wild. But to have the Sixers go from being up five, 101-96, to then losing by three, and the last 8 points of the game are all Knicks. That was pretty stunning as well. And I know many people have mentioned Reggie Miller, shades of the Reggie Miller game going back to Knicks and Pacers. If you've never watched the end of that game, all you got to do is Google Reggie Miller game Knicks or Reggie Miller Knicks game, and it will pop up right away on your YouTube or on your feed. So the number of many moments in that sequence that had to go perfectly for the Knicks, that's stunning in and of itself. So unlike the 20-point comeback where it's building and it's building and it's building, and then you've got this battle with the Nuggets and the Lakers over the final, 90 seconds, this is so stunning because it happened so quickly. And you can't believe that it just played out the way that it did and that the Sixers, just like that, in the span of 30 seconds, go from being up five to down three, and they lose. So that one's shocking in how quickly it happened. Not necessarily a buzzer beater, though Dante's shot was certainly one of those that you would see on a highlight reel and will probably through the course of these playoffs, depending upon how far the Knicks go. And then you've got a different sport, so it's a completely different feel, but still just as stunning, with the Carolina Hurricanes, who are trailing 3-0 in their game against the Islanders. And this is at home. They're trailing 3-0. And the time is, well, in hockey, it's a two-goal lead that's never safe, right? But they get into the late stages of the second period. Finally, you get Carolina on the board. And so going into the third, it's Islanders up 3-1. Islanders, I don't know if they could feel the shift or the change, or if that was the turning point. Maybe it's not until midway through the third period when they then give up another Hurricanes goal. So now it's 3-2, roughly middle of that third period. But to watch, again, those last few minutes that play out where you've got, now it's overall, it's five consecutive goals for the Canes, or five unanswered goals. I suppose in football, we would call them, I don't know, 21 unanswered points, that type of thing when it's a flurry. In this case, it was five straight goals for the Canes after the Islanders build that 3-0 lead. But in the final 2 minutes and 15 seconds of the third period, that's when it's nutso. And within 9 seconds, you have the Canes score the tying goal and then take the lead on another goal. Again, 9 seconds apart. So the last one is an empty net goal. But to see two goals in 9 seconds, and that's how they complete the comeback, that was a flurry. But overall, for them to have five consecutive goals is stunning in and of itself. So we've got a completely different flavor for the Canes, but that takes place at home. The Knicks comeback takes place at Madison Square Garden. The Nuggets take place in Mile High City, which means we get these incredible crowd reactions too. So we're going to go through all of it, but I want to ask you which one, or even rank them, of those three, what's the craziest comeback of the night, or which one caught you by surprise the most, right? So whatever it happens to be, I want you to rank these crazy comebacks on this Monday night, because we're going to hear not just the audio, but the post-game reaction. As you can imagine, it varies. It's the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And while this is not quite like the one and done of college basketball, it definitely is that same element, because these games, they matter so much. And in the case of the Sixers and the Lakers, they're now down 0-2. And obviously the Islanders as well, seeing that lead slip away. So you've got that pit that is in your stomach as an athlete when you realize we had it and we let it get away. And that's tough to get over, especially when you have to turn around and play a couple days later. So all the various human elements, the redemption of Jamal Murray, who has, let's be fair, has really struggled on the offensive end of the court in terms of his shooting. His numbers have not been great, and he had 6 points going into the fourth quarter of game two, and yet finds that feel, finds that rhythm, and becomes the one that is being hailed as the conquering hero, if you will. And yes, I'm using my hyperbole. So we're going to put a post up on our social media, rank the comebacks. Which one was the most stunning? Which one belongs at the top of the list for, you know, my favorite category in sports, the category of you can't make this stuff up. Or, Producer Jay, you think a poll is a better idea?
Not sure. Should we poll it?
Let's poll it. Although, then we can't really rank them. That's the only thing. So I kind of like the idea of ranking the three comebacks.
Gotcha.
But if you prefer a poll on Twitter, we can certainly do that.
No, let's rank. 1, 2, 3.
We know as sports fans, we love to rank them. So let's rank them. Craziest comebacks from 1 to 3 for Knicks, Canes, and Nuggets. And I'm not giving you the order. I'm just saying those are the three teams that rallied. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network. And I am at Syracuse tonight, or on the campus of Syracuse University tonight, after class number 3, The Art of Sports Talk Radio. We actually listened to a few moments, play-by-play, actually going back to, and this is the synergy here cracks me up, but going back to some of the bigger moments that I've witnessed in my own career, one of them coming from the college basketball world, which also was a buzzer beater. So I appreciate that Jamal Murray gave us another example of that. And I was talking to my students earlier about what you hear in an arena when something like this happens. And so you're going to hear the play-by-play and the reaction of the crowd, because that's the delicious audio that I love the best. It's one of the reasons that I'm in this business, why I was attracted to this business, why I've become a radio junkie, is for that reason, because I love how it sounds, those dramatic moments in sports that we never forget. So here on the campus again after teaching class, and so I'm in control room 3, and we're going to work our way through these next 4 hours, but we'd love to hear from you. Pretty much everything is the same, though Jay and I are not looking at each other tonight, but you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and there is on this Monday night, this hope that I have that we're not going to end up falling back into the pattern of blowout after blowout after blowout in basketball, because that's what it's felt like going back to last year, but even starting these playoffs, where the series may run a little longer, but the games themselves are not as compelling in the microcosm. Sure, you may have a series that on the surface, because it goes 6, it appears as though it's a good back and forth. But the blowouts within that series, they're not great for the game. You lose people at halftime. And I dare say there were plenty of people who tuned out of Nuggets and Lakers when the game was a 20-point spread. And so you had the Lakers up 15 at the half, in large part due to the shooting of D'Angelo Russell, who was 6 of 7 from 3 in the first half, if I remember correctly. And then even early in the third, so a couple of minutes into the second half, you've got the Lakers tacking on. And so at that point, they are up 20, 68 to 48, 68 to 48. And the way that the Nuggets came back is through the defense, of course, but also because they put pressure on opponents. And they've done this with the Lakers, where they will wear the Lakers out. They'll limit their options. You're probably not ever going to completely take away LeBron and AD unless they happen to be hurt. And we know that's happened over the course of Anthony's career. But if you can limit what else is happening around them and you can force those two guys to carry the load, well, then they end up wearing out, or they get a little tired, or it's almost impossible against a team as deep as Denver for them to be able to carry that torch. And we saw that last year in the Western Conference Finals. So it really was a matter of them kind of chipping away. And I don't know what it is about the Nuggets to start this series so far, but they've not played their best basketball out of the gate. Now, They're never out of it. The defending champions, and Mike Malone mentioned that after the game. But to see the way that they found another gear in the second half, it wasn't all that different than the opener of this series. All right, so we're going to get to Nuggets and Lakers. But again, we're asking you, what's the craziest comeback of the night among these three? It was just a fun night to be a sports fan. You don't have to love basketball to enjoy the comebacks. You don't have to be a hockey nut to know that scoring five goals in a row and coming back from 3-0 down on the ice is really impressive and also dramatic and just fun. If you have no skin in the game, although I know a lot of fans are hurting on this Monday night. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this and you'll hear all the reaction. But can I tell you something? Jay, we've got to find the still photos or just the, maybe there's already memes out there. Maybe just the, I don't know, 4 or 5 seconds of video that captures this moment that has got me giggling. Did you all see after the Jamal Murray buzzer beater, what happened to Anthony Davis? So Anthony Davis is the one who's guarding Jamal. So it's a step back jumper. It's a fall away. He had to kind of get that lift up over the top of Anthony Davis. And so he does the step back and the fall away over the outstretched arms of AD. AD's momentum then kind of carries him past Jamal Murray. Jamal stumbles, ends up on his rear end, kind of slides off the court almost. But as the shot goes through the hoop, of course, not only does the crowd go wild, but he's on the Nuggets, he's right in front of the Nuggets bench. So as he's sliding kind of backward and off the court, as he's falling down and sliding away, he's sliding into his own bench. Anthony Davis has the momentum that carries him toward the Denver Nuggets bench. And in the mass chaos that ensues, Davis gets shoved backwards onto the bench. And how somebody's arm is on his face. I mean, it looked a little dangerous. I'm sure he's fine. It didn't seem like anybody said anything about him after the fact. But it's just one of those wrong place, wrong time. Because in their desire, and I would say in the incredible energy of that game-winning buzzer beater, his teammates surround Jamal. They're picking him up. They're going nuts. So they're congratulating him, and they essentially run right over Anthony Davis. I mean, that's tough to do as a 7-footer. But Davis somehow gets smushed onto the now vacated Denver Nuggets bench, and there are people running over him, around him, on top of him. Jay found the video, so he's going to retweet it. I mean, Anthony Davis did a great job defending Jamal. So this is one-on-one, two of the best players in the Western Conference, two of the best players in the league. And in this case, you've got to give Jamal Murray props because he made the shot. But Davis got run over by the Nuggets teammates. I'm not even sure they saw him. They just were out to get Jamal Murray, and he got bum rushed and ended up backwards, kind of sprawled out on the Nuggets bench and something on his face.
I mean, he was engulfed by the Nuggets.
He was. He was completely surrounded, engulfed, and then he got cast aside like he was 7 inches tall, not 7 feet tall. So I just have to tell you, I'm not going to forget that moment as much as it had absolutely nothing to do with the comeback or really the meat of our show tonight. It was one of those moments that you kind of catch after the fact, or if someone points it out to you, you're like, oh my gosh, poor guy. He got run over, really. So Jay's retweeting it from our show account, at Amy After Hours. So it's got a new name because of the new network name, at Amy After Hours. And then we'll throw it up, or at least the link, throw it up on Facebook as well. But we're asking you to rank these crazy comebacks on this manic Monday. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. You've got Twitter. You've got Facebook. We've got drama. It's a Monday from Syracuse University. It's after.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Denver basketball, shot clock is turned off. 18.2 seconds left to go in the third quarter. Denver with a bucket gets it down to single digits. Joker back over to Jamal, turns the corner. Back over to Joker at the nail, guarded by Anthony Davis. He puts it on the floor, spin move in the paint, jump shot up and in. Nuggets within 4, 91-87. Jokic has it inside the arc, guarded by Anthony Davis. Starts backing him down, spins baseline, head fake, layup, got it, and foul! Let's go! Nuggets down by 2, Joker can make it 1. That's the 5th foul on Anthony Davis.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It started to build. Raise your hand if you could see it coming. Raise your hand if you felt like there was a turning point for the Nuggets. Or maybe you're of the opinion that there is no lead that is safe in the NBA. Or maybe not in the NHL either. We are asking you to tell us how you would rank the crazy, if you will. Rank the crazy. Was it the Nuggets down 20 in the third quarter who come all the way back and get a legit Jamal Murray buzzer beater, which you're going to hear coming up? And it was a back and forth there for the final 90 seconds with the Lakers. So it wasn't like the Nuggets ran right through that 20-point lead, through the stop sign, through the blinking red light, and then boom, got the buzzer beater. No, the Lakers multiple times took the lead again, only to see Jamal Murray tie it. So we'll talk about that coming up. But it was a good back and forth and a good fight there. Maybe it never should have been, but it was fairly wild the last 90 seconds of this game. So is that the craziest comeback? Or is it the Knicks, who are down 5, in the final 30 seconds against the Sixers, they go from down 5 to up 3, scoring the final 8 points. And the sequence and the mini moments, the things that had to go right for the Knicks to be able to win that game, whoa, jaw-dropping. Or is it the Hurricanes, who not only have to come back from 3 goals down, but they score 5 goals in a row against the Islanders over the course of a little more than a period, including the tying goal and the go-ahead score within 9 seconds of each other. And you want to talk about demoralizing for the teams on the losing end of this. The Nuggets, the way that they were able to come back against the Lakers not only gives them incredible confidence, but it just damages the confidence and the team morale. It's demoralizing for the Lakers because they had them. And yet in the end, they lose a 10th consecutive game to the same team. Seemingly, no matter what they do against the Nuggets, they cannot beat that damn team. You've got to believe that that's the, at least right now, in the throes of kind of this pain and this frustration, that's how it feels. No matter what we do, we cannot beat that team. We just keep running into the Nuggets. It's like the Houston Rockets against the Warriors back in those kind of 5 NBA Finals runs. Or if you want, I know the Cavs beat them once, but how many times did the Cavs run into the Warriors where they couldn't end up beating them again? But they did get the one championship, so that one probably doesn't apply quite as well. So rank the crazy. That's what we're asking. Is it Nuggets? Is it Knicks? Is it Canes? Which was the craziest comeback? Give us the 1, the 2, the 3. Producer Jay has put a post up on our show Twitter at Amy After Hours. I am retweeting now on my account at A-Law Radio and then also on our Facebook page. And you hear the calls there with Jason Kosmicki on the Nuggets Radio Network as they start their comeback. They fight back from down 20 to tie it at 95 with about a minute and 15 seconds left to go. Now, it wasn't over even then, right? Again, like I said, they did not just continue on cruising on down the tracks without any resistance from the Lakers. It's not like the Lakers laid down, though it may have felt like that after they coughed up a 20-point lead. But in that final minute and 15 seconds, after Michael Porter ties it with a 3, then you've got D'Angelo Russell, who makes a driving layup, puts the Lakers back in front by a bucket. On the other end, LeBron fouls Jamal. He's got to make 2 free throws. They're tied again at 97. 10 seconds after that, LeBron drives to the hoop. Shot is good. Lakers are back in front, 99-97. And then you've got Jamal Murray making his first of the two step-back jumpers. not the step-back jumper, but the earlier step-back jumper, like the precursor, if you will, the foreshadowing. So with 30 seconds to go, Jamal Murray ties it again. So it's tied at 95. The Lakers are up. It's tied at 97. The Lakers go up. It's tied at 99. And that's where we stand in this final sequence on Nuggets Radio.
A stop here, you win the game. Three-pointer LeBron. Missed it. Rebound Porter. There's the stop. Over to Jamal Murray. They have to foul. They have to foul. He's at the midcourt circle. 4 seconds. 3 seconds left. Why are they not fouling? Jumper Murray. Got it to hard. Denver mounts the comeback. They come back from 20 points down. They win game number two. 101-99 is the final. And the Lakers can take that L on the way out.
That's the call with Jason Kosmicki on Denver Nuggets radio. And because he's so loud and he's so demonstrative, you maybe don't hear the pronounced reaction inside the arena. So, Jay, if you will play the Lakers version from John Ireland. Now, I happen to be listening to this one as I was getting ready to come over to Control Room 3 here at Syracuse University. So I'm watching it, but I'm listening to John Ireland. And, of course, the stark difference between the two calls is incredible. But also, with the way that John Ireland is kind of dejected, reflecting the opinion, well, reflecting the mood of not just the Lakers, but their fan base, you can hear more of what's happening in terms of those sounds that we love as sports fans that are ingrained in our memories.
Shot clock and the game clock are 5 seconds apart. The Lakers going to run some clock here. LeBron driving. Three-pointer for LeBron. No good. And here come the Nuggets with a chance to win it. No timeout. 10 seconds remaining. Game tied at 99. Jamal Murray's got it. 5 seconds left. Murray dribbles right. 3-2. Murray for the win. Good. Nuggets win it.
So in there, you can hear the sequence of events a little more clearly in terms of not his play-by-play, but you can hear those, again, those iconic sounds that we love, right? And I love the fact, and Jay, I may have you play that again, just kind of the second half of that again, so you can hear it, where the crowd almost catches its breath in anticipation of seeing the shot, whether it goes in or it doesn't. There's going to be a reaction. It might be a gasp if the shot hits the rim. It might be a groan if the shot is woefully errant. But what you get is Jamal Murray, step back jumper. There's this pause from Ireland, which reflects this pause from the crowd there in Denver, of course, because everyone's waiting. So we're all collectively kind of holding our breath and waiting. Maybe you were doing it as you're watching TV as well. And it's funny because it's a split second, and yet it feels like an eternity. So there's this pause. You hear the quiet in the arena, as quiet as that many fans can be. Then the buzzer sounds, then the ball goes through the hoop, and then the crowd goes wild, which is crazy. I mean, that is a true buzzer beater, where the ball's gone, the buzzer sounds, and then we know whether it's good or it's not. So, Jay, you want to rack that up again?
10 seconds remaining, game tied at 99. Jamal Murray's got it. 5 seconds left. Murray dribbles right. 3-2. Murray for the win. Good. Nuggets win it.
Yoke was kind of looming, waiting for me to make a decision. And then I just, you know, faked like I was going to shoot a three or do a step back or something. And then AD kind of pressed up a little bit. I just got to my spot, beat him to the spot, and I was able to elevate and make it. I jumped pretty high. I faded a lot, and I just lost my balance and fell. And I just saw the ball over the rim. I think AD was in my way, or somebody was in my way. And I just heard everybody scream, and that's how I know it went in. So it was a pretty cool moment.
For those that have been following us for a long time, that's Jamal Murray right there. I mean, he can struggle. He sees one go in, and he is He's never shying away from the moment, the spotlight. And that was just an incredible play. Jamal is a guy that it doesn't take much for him. You know, he knows that this entire team, staff, players, whatever you want to call it, have his back. But he's a confident young man. And making a shot like that is only going to help him in that regard. But I'll be honest, I don't think he needs much help.
Do you know his shooting numbers were the exact same as they were in game number one? 9 of 24. Not a great shooting percentage. He was 0 for 5 from 3. So the two biggest shots of the game for Jamal came from inside the arc. He finishes with 20 points, but going into the fourth quarter only hit 6. And yet those last 6 points of the game for the Nuggets, you want to talk about confidence boost. And of course, as you hear Mike Malone, you watch this guy, you know that it doesn't matter how long he's been in a quote-unquote slump. He's always good for it in those moments. And so I actually, in the wake of that buzzer beater, I tweeted, that's how you break out of a shooting slump. A little bit tongue-in-cheek there, but yeah. No one's talking about the slump anymore for Jamal Murray. All right, I want you to hear more, but we want to get you a break because Trevor Lane, who covers the Lakers, has a very popular podcast and post-game show. He's going to join us coming up next from Denver, or is he in L.A.? I'm not sure. I guess we'll ask him. Anyway, so he's going to join us in the wake of what is a stunning loss for the Los Angeles Lakers, and how do they recover from that? 10 consecutive defeats at the hands of these defending champions. It's got to feel like no matter what they do, they cannot catch a break. But you cannot blame the officials for losing a 20-point lead. I don't care. You can complain from now until the cows come home. The officials are not the reason why you coughed up a 20-point lead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence from Syracuse University on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Five seconds left. Murray dribbles right. 3-2, Murray for the win. Good. Nuggets win it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the John Ireland call of the buzzer beater, a true buzzer beater, the one that was released by Jamal Murray. Then we hear the buzzer sound, and then the crowd goes wild. And Jamal said after he didn't even see it go through because he was falling backward and kind of skidded off the court. Instead, he knew by the reaction of the crowd that the shot had gone through the hoop. LeBron James talked about the pain of this loss. And, of course, other elements of the game. But what you will hear on Tuesday morning and beyond is his assessment of replay and what's not happening with the replay center.
D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't ask you a question, but that shit is like... And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers-Knicks game, too. What are we doing?
He ends up getting up, walking out of the media center. Even though he'd already answered a bunch of questions, that's the part you're going to hear over and over. Couple of curse words, his comments on the officiating, and mostly about the replay center, that you actually have replay and still doesn't believe that they got it right. So we're welcoming Trevor Lane now from LA, who's got the Lakers Nation show, and a lot of conversation about this, Trevor. So we'll start here. What's your reaction to what LeBron had to say postgame?
LeBron is absolutely right, and this is not the first time. This is something we've been talking about all season. This is not a Lakers-specific thing. This is not it's not even about this game tonight. We've seen plays go to replay all season long, obvious calls, and still, with the benefit of replay, seeing it rewound over and over from different angles, and still have the officials come back with what is obviously an incorrect decision. That can't happen. There's no reason to stop a game if you're not going to get the call right when you've got the benefit of instant replay. So it's something that needs to be addressed. Some of it, I think, comes down to the rules of replay and what you can look at and what you can't. It creates situations where you can see something happen specifically. You see a player that steps out of bounds or something, but that's not the part of the play that you happen to be reviewing. And then you still have to ignore part of what you're seeing in the replay and only focus on another part of it. It creates situations where the fans at home are watching, they're seeing a clear mistake being made, and it's not being addressed. It's something that has to get fixed this summer. And if it's not going to get fixed, then just get rid of the replay system, in my opinion, because there's no reason to stop the game unless you're going to get the correct decision.
I agree with that. I'm still go back and forth. Not sure I love reviewing calls like that where it can be objective. Certainly a battle that other leagues have tackled. So that aside, we hear from LeBron after. It's not why they coughed up a 20-point lead. So Trevor, what changed in the second half for the Lakers?
Yeah, so there were a lot of things that took place in this one. One of it was you saw the Nuggets make a shift with Aaron Gordon covering Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis was having his way with Nikola Jokic, attacking him and getting some scoring opportunities. The Nuggets made an adjustment, and then the Lakers really struggled to adapt to that. We saw them, Anthony Davis talked about after the game, said we only scored 40 points in the second half total. That was a big part of the reason why the Nuggets came back. The Lakers' offense just ground to a halt. And when you're taking bad shots, missing shots, that fuels your opponent's offense because that gets them running in transition, gets them cross matches and things like that. And so that was a big part of the Lakers kind of collapsing and blowing this lead. They also really went away from their play calling, which has been a major talking point across Lakers Nation. They keep doing this in games where they're calling plays and things are going well and they're running stuff and they start to freelance and they'll go through long stretches. They went through 4 or 5 minutes tonight where they didn't score, and a lot of that was not calling any plays, just freelancing and trying to wing it, and it does not work, and it often leads to situations like this. So all of that kind of combined to create this perfect storm that ended up being a disaster of a night from a Lakers perspective.
Anthony Davis says this afterwards, and I know you retweeted it on your account. We have stretches where we don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. I mean, that's pretty damning. Is that what you're talking about? They don't have any organization. It's kind of mass chaos.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. And that's where, you know, who does that ultimately fall under? Well, that falls under coaching. The coach needs to have his hands on the wheel in that moment and not allow the team to just kind of go out there and freelance and not run some of the offensive sets that they've installed, which have been really successful for them over the course of the season. It is possible when you listen to the full statement that Anthony Davis made or the full answer, he could be putting that on his teammates, but it's not a good look for a coach with a player saying we go through stretches where we don't know what we're doing on either end of the floor. Teams, especially in the postseason, should know what they're doing. And so Darvin Ham is catching a lot of criticism, and justifiably, with that comment going out there. So it'll be interesting to see if AD walks it back at all, if he just says, no, I mean, we kind of lose our minds for a few moments, we get caught up in the situation or something to that effect, or if he just lets the comment sit as stands, because it certainly sounds like, to me, a thinly veiled shot at Darvin Ham.
Trevor Lane is with us from L.A. He's got Lakers Nation in the front office show, and we always enjoy having him here with us after hours with Amy Lawrence. So they obviously had success in building that 20-point lead, and we see not just LeBron, but AD, and then D'Angelo Russell, who's played exceptionally well for the past, six-plus weeks. He's been a great third option. I know he didn't shoot well in the opener, but when you see that shift by the Denver Nuggets and they play a different defense against Anthony Davis, it still blows me away because the Lakers do have other options. It's almost like there was this domino effect where, I don't know if they weren't expecting it, but just couldn't adjust on the fly. And you would think a team with veterans like the Lakers have, that wouldn't happen. It wouldn't throw them for a loop.
Yeah, and it really did. That's where they need to rely on their sets a bit more and get into actions and not just try to wing it out there. And that's what we saw. But yeah, I mean, D'Angelo Russell had a phenomenal night. This was a big deal for D'Angelo Russell because he was so bad last year against the Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. And then to have kind of that stinker performance in game one A lot of people said, oh, no, here we go again. And D'Angelo Russell is not a playoff performer. And, I mean, he's got a lot of money on the line in free agency. He needed to prove that he can step up in a playoff game. And he did that. I mean, he was 7 of 11 from 3, 23 points. He was great. But in these situations, yeah, when the Denver Nuggets shift what they're doing defensively, the Lakers should be able to react to that. We saw LeBron make some big plays, but the other guys, you know, Rui Hachimura had a rough night. He had a few opportunities right at the rim. He didn't score. D'Angelo Russell got pulled for defensive reasons for certain parts of this game, too, where he could have maybe given you a boost on the offensive end. But ultimately, the Lakers were not able to adjust to the adjustments on the fly. It was one of the concerns I had going into this game is if they do come out hot and they do play well at halftime, Denver's going to make changes. And the Lakers, over the course of the season, they've struggled to adapt to what teams do mid-game. And that really burned them in this one tonight.
This certainly does seem like an indictment of coaching. So we'll see what happens postseason or whenever the Lakers run is done. They only get the three guys in double figures. So AD, LeBron, and Russell. Who else is going to step up? Or what else do they need in order to add some depth so that it's not one of those games or one of those series, I should say, in which they keep running into a team that's got more options than they do?
Well, I mean, one of the issues that they have is they didn't add another big last summer, and that certainly becomes a problem when you're playing up against the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic. That's a fix now for the offseason that you need to go find. Right now, they need to get a bit more out of Austin Reeves. You can see he's tiring, chasing Jamal Murray around, but 9 points from him, you've got to have more production there. The bench has been a problem for them. You've got 6 points total off your bench, and that was Torian Prince. Spencer Dinwiddie and Gabe Vincent really aren't providing any offense. They didn't even shoot last game. They were 0-for-3 this game. You're just not getting enough other guys that are chipping in right now. And this was a team that was really put together to have a bit more depth. Yes, they've suffered some injuries. They still have a couple of guys out right now, though they may be coming back for game three. We'll see. And that's Jared Vanderbilt and Christian Wood. But ultimately, the Denver Nuggets are just a team that is very good at capitalizing on any mistakes that you made, any shortcomings that you have. They will find ways to exploit it. And unfortunately, tonight, you didn't get Rui Hachimura or Austin Reeves going, and that was enough to really stymie your offensive production. Last game, it was D'Angelo Russell. It really feels like the Lakers have to do everything perfectly in order to beat this Denver team. Any little slip up here or there, and that's enough for Denver to get the win.
On Twitter, @Trevor_Lane. He's got a lot to talk about on Lakers Nation and the front office show, so find him on Twitter and find those YouTube links. Trevor, we appreciate a couple of minutes in the wake of this crazy finish.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for having me.
As you hear the music already going, wanted to squeeze every last second out of Trevor, but a lot to talk about. Why can't the Lakers beat the defending champs? That's 10 straight losses to the Nuggets, and they're now down 0-2 in this series. From Syracuse, I'm Amy Lawrence on After Hours here on Infinity Sports Network.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.